This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Jackie, it's not funny. Not funny at all. Maybe DW4, Deshaun, should find an LSU fan. I mean, that is not
an LSU fan can't stuck his spike in my booty.
And not every LSU fan does that. Not
do
every LSU fan does that.
But that one fan did it.
He did. Yeah, he did.
If we were to believe that Alabama fan just now.
By the way, big ups to America winning golf. We didn't even mention that. Okay.
Xander Schauffele.
America. Nothing says America like a guy named Xander Schauffele.
Where's he from?
French. From France or something. Some country like that with a crazy name like that. No, he won gold. Congratulations. And another gold medal for U.S. We're the best in golf. Whatevs. Okay, whatevs. Man, the Saints are having some problems, bro. You got Michael Thomas, who's going to be out, right? Michael Thomas will not be around for we don't know how long. They also had Deontay Harris arrested in July. He was arrested on a DUI charge. He's a wide receiver / kick returner. Kind of a big deal. But they are...
good returner.
Really, really hurting at wide receiver. They, of course, Brandon Cooks was there. There's this article here that I'm looking at. Could the Saints bring wide receiver Brandon Cooks home to New Orleans? The answer to me is a resounding yes, you can. If you can get
God, your receiving core. If you move, look, I didn't care about Randall Cobb. If you move Brandon Cooks out, who is maybe a really good number three on a good team, I think a solid number two when he's healthy on an average team. Nowhere is he a wide receiver one except the Texans. If you move Brandon Cooks, and that's the closest thing you have to a wide receiver one. Your roster is full of wide receiver fours competing for one and two spots.
Yeah.
Full of them. Chris Conley, Nico Collins.
By all accounts, though, without pads on, Nico Collins looks great.
Yeah, that's. I want to see what happens when the.
Now,
if they put him in position to get down the field and, you know, stretch his legs out and he's got build-up speed. So, you know, I don't want to go too far into it. We're going to kind of break him down in a 20 players.
We better do it in a hurry.
Why?
If they trade him.
No, Nico. They're not trading Nico.
No, not Nico. Oh, Nico. Yeah. I'm talking about Brandon today.
I'm talking about Nico, yeah. At 8:30, we'll do Brandon. But Nico Collins is, I think they hope that he's going to be I think he's got wide receiver two potential in the NFL.
What would you take if the Saints offered it for Brandon?
I mean, I'd take a three if they give you a three. I don't think they'll want to give you a three. But
this dude has been traded for ones. They actually moved up, gave up a first and a third to get him in the first place. And he has gone for a one everywhere else.
Except when he came back to Houston.
Yeah, to two, right?
Yeah.
And you got a two for him.
And my guess is
I'm going to say I want a two for him. They're in a desperate position. Some other guys that they're looking at because they – an Andy Isabella or a Christian Kirk because they've got a surplus – they've got a surplus
Andy
of wide
receivers. Isabella is like 5 foot.
I know,
one.
Right? How no much better thanks. Is Brandon? How much more, wouldn't you rather have
Christian
him
Kirk is,
than
yeah.
Christian Kirk?
Well, they're just looking at a bunch of small guys.
I guess they are.
Or at least according to that article.
Right.
Is that article's idea of what they should do?
No, they're just looking at possibilities because, there's not much out there free agent wise, obviously.
So look, after this year, you could get out of the contract. I'm sorry. No, this year, they could have last year. This year, God, the cap, oh, man, with the restructure, his cap spot is not bad. Well, this year it's $5.6 million. Next year it's $15.5 million. And then you've got what appears to be player options the next 2 years. I have to see how this is restructured.
Is is Brandon Cooks a luxury that you don't really need? You know, like a good football player that is probably not going to be around once you become a good football team. Is in don't you right now? Aren't you trying to use any asset to get better for your future? Because really, I mean, if honestly, we look at this thing. What even if you have a bunch of fours competing? So what?
Well, if your goal is
how much better is Brandon Cooks?
If your goal is to win as few games as possible, subtract your only talented or one of your only talented wide receivers.
I would
one of your only experienced receivers.
I wouldn't put it that way. Is to lose as many games as possible. I would put it: how can we best use the players that we have now to get us assets for the future? And you know what? Brandon Cooks is one of the guys that actually has some value. How many guys could you trade out of this off this roster that would bring you a third rounder? Tunsil?
Not many.
No. Tunsil?
I mean, Tunsil maybe Cunningham? Tunsil would bring you first, but I'm not looking to trade.
A third
Tunsil.
Or better is what I'm saying.
A third or better is, and you know, once again, there's other wide receivers around the league too. If you ask for a second, I don't think the Saints would even bother with you. I think they'd say, no, this guy's got a year to two left on his contract. We're going to have to sign him and give him a new contract. He's had injury issues. No, we'll give you a fifth that will elevate to a fourth or something, which I wouldn't take. I would in no way take. That's a bad deal.
No.
So I would take, I mean, I think his value is probably a third. I'm with you, though. You go in, you ask for a second. That's fine. The problem you have is that they'll be digging around with lots of teams. There's going to be lots of teams that they'll be saying, who can we get, you know, for a fourth-round pick who can step in and be a guy who could come in and really perform with us. I can go pick some wide receivers off some different rosters who I could see them, you know, looking at. I don't know did he leave on good terms with Sean Payton? I don't know that he left on good terms with the Patriots. I think he did with the Colts. I mean, not Colts, the Saints. But then again, when I say that with the Patriots, I mean, no, they brought him back. They brought him back before Nick Caserio came back. That was a Bill O'Brien thing. But I wanted to say, I think he was not happy to be dealt from the from New England over to the Rams. But regardless, I'd be fine if they traded him. What do I care? What's the difference between?
Well,
okay, great. You have a 1,000-yard receiver with Deshaun Watson. Who cares? He would do more good for the Saints potentially than he would for the Texans. And yeah, if you could get, I'm telling you, if you could get a third rounder for him and maybe a sixth or, you know, flip flop, give them your sixth and get their fifth or something like that, which I think that might be a little much, but if you could, I'd be fine with it.
What about we mentioned the Colts a little bit earlier and Carson Wentz. Is there any way, shape, or form you would deal with the Colts with Deshaun Watson?
No.
I don't think they would take the problem on.
They won't do it now that they have Carson Wentz. Even though Carson Wentz is injured, he is expected to be back this year, but that's kind of scary sounding when he says, yeah, we're expecting him back this year. It's not supposed to be season ending.
What does Deshaun Watson, let's say Deshaun Watson to the Colts, how much better, where do you put them in the AFC?
Who, the Colts?
Yeah, if they got Deshaun.
I mean, I'd probably put them number one. No, number two behind the Chiefs. Yeah.
Yeah, Chiefs and then Colts.
Yeah, I'd probably put them
number two. And Chiefs, Colts, and Bills are all right there.
Yep, I'd have them just ahead of the... Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little disrespectful to the Bills. The Bills have a better secondary. I still would say the Colts have the running game. The Colts bolstered pass rush. Colts have the offensive line. I'd still probably say Colts ahead of Bills if they had Deshaun Watson. But I don't think the same issues that prevent somebody from trading for Deshaun Watson are still present. You don't know what his suspension stuff is going to look like. And
Well, you talk about
if you're
risk.
The Texans, if you thought you could get the best deal, but I don't think the Texans.
What would you
would trade would, him
would
in
you,
the division?
Would you, if you're going to do it in the division? I mean, it would be so rare to do something like this. But if you were going to do it in the division, don't you have to get more from the Colts than you would from anybody else?
Yeah, I would think, and I don't see I don't see the Colts doing it. I do think there was a time before Carson
Ballard's
Wentz.
A quarterback away from being a great team.
Yeah, I think there was a – they expect Wentz back, though. But I think there was a time before Wentz where it would have been interesting if the Texans would have just taken a phone call. But they weren't taking calls from any teams. They weren't even discussing Deshaun Watson. But I just don't see Nick Caserio giving a premier top five quarterback, sending him somewhere in the division. I can't see that happening. I just can't see that
well,
happening.
Well, but
if I'm a Texan, I don't think I'm even close. So the best package is the best package, but that's easy to say when Deshaun's not beating your brains in, which potentially he could. Can you imagine the crap you would take if Deshaun beats your brains in every game with the Colts and you're the idiot that traded him in the division and you have to see him twice every year?
Yeah, but I don't think you – if they give you the best package – I don't think you turn it down just because it's a division team. I mean, it's not ideal, but if they give you the best package for Deshaun Watson, and listen, you don't have to act now. It's so unlikely because there's no way Ballard trades for him right now, and Carson Wentz might be back. Of course, if Carson Wentz sucks too, if Carson Wentz doesn't play well,
it's no guarantee a healthy Carson Wentz plays well.
Yeah, no,
not
none.
Based on what we saw with the. Although the pass protection is going to be much better. Well, you know, I say that, but they did lose Costanzo in the off season, so who knows?
I just don't know that you do it. I think the timing is it doesn't work out for either team.
I don't think there's not even a discussion about it.
No, there's not.
Him going. You're just throwing a hypothetical out there based on Carson Wentz being out. But Carson Wentz being injured, nobody, when it comes to the Colts, hey, we got a head coach, Josh McDaniels. No, you don't, right before the season. Hey, we got Andrew Luck. We can't wait. No, you don't. Andrew's going to shut it down right before the season starts. Hey, Carson Wentz here. No, you don't. He's hurt indefinitely. Like, that is a team. If this were a crap table, the Colts are always coming out with a roll of 4 or 10, trying to make points with 4 or 10. It is hard sledding for them because they have some bad luck over there.
Yep. All right, 814 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you want to get in, come on. John Lance and Dell right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Astros Baseball. We'll get back to it. Don't go anywhere.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I mean, you know, I think all of their hits and RBIs came with two outs. And, you know, whenever you get those two out hits, usually you're the team that wins. And that was the difference in the ball game. I think we were like 1 for 8 with runners in scoring position. I don't know what they were, but it seems like all their runs came with two outs.
Yeah, the Astros lose that one. Luis Garcia has not been great of late. He may have hit a wall. They may have caught up to him. A breakdown of his pitching, L. Leiter and Ron Darling did an unbelievable breakdown, but maybe the league is catching up from where he comes from. He'll move around on the mound, and he moves from right side to left side against righties, against lefties, but apparently it's catching up. That was a good – it wasn't a horrible pitch, but Chris Bryant just turned on it. He knew it. Garcia knew it immediately. But yeah, the Astros left 6 on base yesterday. They had 10 hits and scored 3 runs, left 6 runners on base. The Giants left 7 runners on base. It was a crazy number. They just couldn't come up with a clutch hit like the Giants did, like you said. They had, you know, Brandon Crawford is a good hitter. Yastrzemski's a good hitter. Posey, obviously, rough. Adding Chris Bryant to this lineup is a big addition for them, especially a team that has played as well as they have. Their starting pitching is good. It wasn't great. It's good. But the Astros starting pitching, are you getting a little bit worried about it? The Astros starting pitching, it's not as good. It's not. No, it's not. And that's a problem. You bolstered the bullpen, which looks like you're going to need more and more and more now. Over these last games, they've given up 5, 8, 6, 4, 6, 11 over on this road trip. This is not what the starters have been bringing earlier this year when this team was on a roll. It's a small sample size. You go through lulls. I mean, these are the dog. This is actually the dog days.
Yeah, I really am hesitant to. I've just noticed so many people swaying so strong one direction and the other. It's just a pendulum right now. My concern is a guy like Fromber who has become a different type of pitcher with his location issues have shown themselves again and really reworked themselves into his everyday pitching. That's a concern for me. That's not a small sample size. This is an issue with a pitcher who now has regressed into issues he's had in the past. That's a big concern for me. Luis Garcia, we'll see. Sometimes you ride high on the outlier, which is Luis Garcia's potential or his pitching had been, you know, the outlier on a very, let's be real here, it was a very small sample size. But when you look at Luis Garcia, it didn't really match your expectations. So maybe he is just kind of falling back to the pack where maybe this is going to be who he is. Some really good, some not so good. Zach Greinke is kind of who he is. We know who he is right now. I'd like to see Urquidy come back and get back. I'd really like for that to happen. But my biggest concern right now is the bullpen. James Click did a great job with the bullpen. Great job on paper of helping to bolster the bullpen. Now your concern is, do you have a true number one?
Well, that's always been my concern. That's why Scherzer would have been so wonderful to get, because now you've got a big, strong, can't-miss ace like Verlander. When you picked him up, it would have been a much, much like that pickup. Click decided instead to go, well, they went cheaper. There's no question about that. I'm still not questioning Jim Crane.
I don't think they could have competed with what the Dodgers gave up.
No, probably not.
And they grabbed Trey Turner
on top
time.
Of it. Yeah, on top of it. Well, we'll see him tonight. We'll see Turner. Or I guess we'll see Turner. Corey Seager. Of course, you pick up Turner. You're going to play him. But in this two-game series, you got Buehler and Scherzer. How's that going to – how's Odorizzi versus Scherzer sound to you?
Not great.
No.
Not my favorite matchup
if
I've
you
ever
can
seen.
Get out of here with a split, if you get out of here with a split, you go 4-4 on this road trip, on one of the more difficult road trips of the season, at Seattle, who was playing great baseball, at San Francisco, who's got the best record in baseball, and then, of course, at the hated Dodgers with all the money that they spend on baseball. If you can get out of there and beat Scherzer – Or Buehler. I mean, look at this rotation. Holy crap. Get out of there with a split. Get out of there with a 4-4 road trip, and let's go. And you know, I think, that some Dodger fans are going to be there, and they're not going to be happy with the Astros as far as, I think.
That's a guess.
It's
they could, and they may have come around.
You don't know. You really don't know right now. How this Dodger organization or their fan base feels about the Astros. Go there. Would you wear your Astros jersey to one of these Dodger games?
Nope, no interest. For what? To get stabbed? Have something thrown on me? No.
I know, right?
No, I'm not that guy that wants smoke with an entire stadium of people who literally hate you. I mean, they hate the Astros.
Hate.
They think the Astros stole a World Series from them. They honestly believe that with their hearts.
Even though the Astros won two games in Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no video system right next to the...
No.
Right next to the... One of them, they ruined their closer in game two, and then they, you know, they Charlie Morton them in game seven. And that's that. So, sorry. Sorry, too bad, so sad. Now, you know, flip side is, every time they had to have a hit and a run at home in that miraculous game five, they kept getting them, and then they won 36-34.
Right.
Just like in a Big 12 game.
That's right.
You know, Big 12, that's, well, end of the first quarter here. Oklahoma State leads Texas Tech 36-34. Back for quarter number two after this. That's what that game was like. Lasted for all of eternity, and a zillion runs were scored, and every pitcher was rocked. Almost no pitchers got in unscathed. It got to the point where I was just saying, you know what? Honestly, there's absolutely nothing that A.J. Hinch can do. I can get mad about him bringing in whoever I want, but there's absolutely nothing that can be done for A.J. Hinch. He's just going to have to keep going to a bullpen. They get paid money. People are so mad. What is A.J. doing? These guys get paid money to do a job. He's asking them to do a job. He doesn't have anyone else he can go to. Brings in Giles. That guy's the biggest sucker. Like, Ken Giles is going to go down as my least favorite Astro of all time. And then when he when he was smoking the cigar.
Zero F's given.
With the zero F's given stuff. Like, people groaned in agony when you were brought into games. I was at game six, I think it was. Or no, game four. I was at game four. And he came into the game and everyone, oh, man.
No.
Like, the amount, I've never seen anybody in unison, an entire stadium, get upset when a player came in. A closer. A quote-unquote closer. Came in.
Yeah, Trey Turner is out, so we won't see him. How about this? Kershaw's out indefinitely. He hasn't pitched since July 3rd. Oh, you're not getting him. So you don't have Trevor Bauer, who the Dodgers hate and can't
Dodgers
possibly
can't catch
bring.
The Giants also.
And you've got a rotation that's all banged up, and you catch Scherzer and Buehler. I mean, could it be any more unlucky
You
that these are the two that you're going to get out of this rotation right now that's really, really banged up? As good as they are, they do have issues. There's no question about that. Trey Turner down. Gavin Lux is down. Clayton Kershaw is down. Kenley Jansen is down only because of suck. He has been terrible. And so you hope if you can get to Jansen within a run or two, you can win this baseball game. If you can get to Kenley Jansen tonight, down one or two in the ninth inning, you got a chance. You got a real chance.
But you got to show up. I mean, you got to, you know, your bats are going to have to, your starting pitching is going to have to step up and try to get back to the form they were in previously. Your bullpen's going to have to do a job, and Kendall Graveman should be, I mean, he's going to be available today, so we'll likely see him at some point. But yeah, the bats are going to have to step up and just hit with men on, you know, hit with
yeah, come up with some clutch
with
hits.
Men
no
on
clutch.
Base, they're going to have to hit, because you're not going to just your walks and hits are not going to be elevated. You're going to have a limited amount of base runners, so when you get them on, you're going to have to make some things happen.
Yep. They put Mookie Betts back at second base because of Trey Turner being out. So that's a possibility of seeing that tonight as well. So we'll see. When we come back, Brandon Cooks, we're going to break it down. Our 20 for 20. It starts with Brandon Cooks and what he brings to the table for your Houston Texans next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.
Solutions and a true business ally. We look forward to building your future. We're Veritex Community Bank. True to your business, true to Texas. VeritexBank.com. Member FDIC.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 831 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're doing a new thing. We're going to break down 20 Texans in 20 days. What they're doing, what they mean to this team, what their future is with this team. Look back at what they've done before, what we project them to do. And we're going to start with a guy that we figure to be here, although we talked about it a little bit earlier, that the Saints might be sniffing around. I don't know. But he certainly is an asset, and he was an asset with the team last year. Brandon Cooks had himself a pretty good season last year. He is our first in our 20 for 20.
When it came to 2020 production, Brandon Cooks, as you already know, was the top pass catcher for the Houston Texans and for Deshaun Watson. It was his highest catch total with 81 receptions since the 2015 season with the Saints. His yardage total, 1,150, is the fifth time that he reached the 1,000-yard mark receiving, and it was the fourth time that he hit 1,100 yards or more. He has never had a double-digit touchdown season, and last year with just six, he fell short of his totals with the Saints that included 3, 9, 8, and 7. With the Rams, he had 5 and 2 touchdowns, so 6 with Deshaun Watson. The average yards per catch, pretty much the same for most of his career. His career average is 14.2 yards per catch, and last year he averaged 14.2 yards per catch. He had 52 first downs to lead the way. That was the second highest first down total that he has had, only to, believe it or not, the Saints. When he played 16 games for the Saints and had 80 catches, he had 56 yards receiving. From a rushing standpoint, not much there. 6 carries for 52 yards, no touchdowns on that one. So that's a brief look at some of the basic statistics for Brandon Cooks in his 2020 production.
Advanced stats.
All right, here we go with some advanced stats. Targets for Brandon Cooks last year, 119. That ranked 20th in the league. His 81 receptions ranked 22nd. His yards per reception at 14.2, which is his career average, ranked 24th in the league last year. Yards per target was 20th in the league at 9.7. Here's a stat: catch percentage, catch percentage, receptions divided by targets. Catch percentage, reception divided by targets, not so good. Brandon Cooks in the league last year, Cooks was just 95th as he caught just 68.1%. of his targets.
That's 90, that low?
Yeah, 95th in the league.
That's surprising to me because that's not a bad total.
It's not bad, but you know, okay, we talk about that. We were talking about DeAndre Hopkins a lot and how many targets he has and how many catches he has and how clutch he is. And Brandon Cooks just not able to win those one-on-one balls.
By the way, some of the numbers, your numbers and my numbers are going to be slightly different. I've got Pro Football Focus, you're using Pro Football Reference. I like both. So it's neither here nor there, so we may have some slightly different numbers. A couple other inside-the-numbers, analytics-driven pieces here in advanced stats. He worked from the slot. What percentage of the time do you think Brandon Cooks worked from the slot for the Houston Texans?
I would say Brandon Cooks, not as much as we would have liked.
Not as much, 25.1%. Yeah. Only one out of every four snaps was he in the slot for the Houston Texans. He is a player who can play inside from the slot or play outside, despite the fact that he's smaller. His speed is what most teams look for with his ability to stretch the defense. He faced press coverage 30.1% of the time and was a threat rate, meaning Deshaun Watson looked for him in snaps where he was a pass-receiving threat at 25.9% of the time. His average depth of target is 12.6 yards, which is pretty standard for a player that you would expect to be more of a slot/outside player. A lot of times a guy like Will Fuller's average depth of target is going to be much greater. He was targeted on deep balls 21.5 percent of the time. Drop rate was good, generally speaking. Pro Football Reference has him with 2 drops. Pro Football Focus has him with 5 drops. So, you know, it kind of depends on how they see drops. But even with 5 drops, his drop percentage is less than 6% at 5.6%. So the hands are good. That from a target standpoint, he's going to get open. He's going to get looks. He only worked from the slot 25% of the time. So that's something that could change if the Texans want to get a more steady stream of throws to Brandon Cooks this year from Tyrod Taylor. And a percentage of first down or touchdowns gained, very modest number at 44.6% of his catches were for first downs or touchdowns. So that's a look inside the advanced stats for Brandon Cooks.
Fantasy Outlook.
I'd say Fantasy Outlook, John, really depends on if he's a Texan or if he's on another team. Because with the Houston Texans, I think his fantasy outlook will be good from a points per reception standpoint. It'll be solid, maybe a guy that you would want to look at as your number 3 receiver on a standard draft team. I do think he's going to see a decent amount of targets. He had 81 catches last year. I don't think the quarterback play, obviously, is going to be as good. So even if he's targeted quite a bit, I think you'll see that percentage of catches go even lower than the number that you stated at over 68%. So his targets, I think, will be just as high with Tyrod Taylor looking to get him the football. And keep in mind that he's a player who is going to be on a team that's behind frequently, so they are going to be throwing a lot. I just have serious questions about whether or not his touchdown total is going to get beyond 6, because I don't think that's going to be the key. So you're going to be really relying on him from a PPR standpoint. And really, with junk yardage late in games, I think he'll get those receptions. But I think wide receiver 3 is the very best you can hope for on a fantasy football team.
Yeah, I've seen anywhere from the 6th, 7th, 8th round for Brandon Cooks. One place here has him at 104th overall player taken, which puts him in that same neighborhood. Brandon Cooks is a guy that I don't know that you really can't count on as far as fantasy goes, because you just don't know about the quarterback play. He's a guy also that has injury issues with the concussions. He would be a real risk taking him anywhere up in the first five rounds in fantasy, because you just don't know with the quarterback situation and with the injury situation whether or not you're going to be able to count on him.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, from a draft standpoint, standard deviation right now on not standard deviation, but the high and low, we see him as high as the early 7th round and as low as the 11th round. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, though, this is a player who plays for a team that is not expected to be very good. So even if he's not traded before the season, he could be a potential target for a team who needs wide receiver, who is in the race for a playoff, so he could end up on a team with a better quarterback at any point. So Brandon Cooks, I would say I would be more skeptical about his fantasy football production. I think I would rather go with some other players. But I do think that once you hit the middle of the 8th round, 9th round, I do think, as I mentioned before, he has some wide receiver 3 potential. So that's a look at his fantasy outlook.
Stay or go.
Well, I think stay or go is an easy one on this one, John. The question becomes, is he stay or go this year? His contract, if you look at how his contract is set up, how it's been reworked, he is not going to be in the long-term plans for the Houston Texans, I don't believe. He's only 27 years old right now. Feels like he's been around the league longer than that, because this
traded
is...
traded every year.
This is his fourth team. Started with the Saints, went to the New England Patriots, was with the Rams, and now he's with the Texans. And soon he'll be on his fifth team in terms of his time in the league. But he's only 27 years old. So right now the question becomes, do you want to try to work at $15 million next year for a cap hit? That's pretty substantial. I think they would be able to afford it. Do I think they'd want to afford it? No. I think they'd want a better number. So if that's the case, he could either be a cap casualty after 2021, or you look to move him. And I think that's the one that you'd really rather do, is try to move Brandon Cooks. So I think from a stay or go standpoint, John, I don't think he's here beyond the 2021 season. Personally, I think he will be traded at some point this year or in the offseason, I don't see him as a long-term Houston Texan.
No, especially with a base salary next year of $12 million. If you can get, if another team is desperate for wide receiver and would give you 3 years, a third rounder, I would have to say goodbye to Brandon Cooks. I don't think you're saying we just want to lose. I think you're saying we're just building for the future. And anything that we can get that would bolster that future with draft picks would be ideal. And you're right. Well, dead cap this year would be $9.8 million. Next year, it would be $6.5 million. So
his cap spot is $15 million next year. Right. I mean, you're going to save about $9 million next year just by cutting him.
Yeah, just by cutting him. So I don't know about cutting him. Get what you can right now. Mm-hmm. If I was the Texans, if I was Nick Caserio, I'd be on the phone. Hey, we've got a good football player over here. We got one. Well, we have two. We have two good football players. Does anybody want one of them? Would anybody like a Brandon Cooks? He is one of the Texans' best players, and he could bring something. Even if it was just a third, I'd take it.
Now, what does he mean to the Houston Texans in 2021? What I think he means is he is going to be the safety blanket for Tyrod Taylor. He's still a player who can get open. He's quick in and out of his breaks. He's got pretty good hands. He is a player who can run the short routes and uncover. So I think Tyrod Taylor, in a controlled passing game, will be looking for him. I'm not worried about, he is going to be your top threat, your wide receiver one. And the question really becomes, how is he impacted, his performance impacted, or how does he help if they go to Davis Mills at any point during the season, or Jeff Driskel for that matter?
Mm-hmm.
I think being a wide receiver one, that's not going to change. But the question you also have to ask is, will the Texans take a look at being more run-oriented so that they keep the game from having to be, so much of the game from having to be placed on the shoulders of quarterbacks that are not Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, he's still going to be your top threat, but in terms of what he'll mean for the team, I think it's going to be a lot less. And I think the other thing you have to keep in mind here is that with no Deshaun Watson as your quarterback, you're less likely to see the Texans use Brandon Cooks to get down the field and try to stretch the defense. I think that will eventually fall on the shoulders of Nico Collins, the rookie, and I think you will see Brandon Cooks as more of a player who works the middle of the field and is more of the possession type receiver. So keep that in mind for what he means to the quarterback. It's not typical, other than a guy like Tom Brady, who would use Julius Edelman or Wes Welker as his go-to targets and possession receivers, but shorter wide receivers don't usually function as the best possession receivers. But unfortunately for the Texans, I think that's going to have to be the case with Brandon Cooks this year. I think he's going to have to be their possession wide receiver, much like last year. And how motivated is he going to be on a bad team? He was on a good Rams team, a good Patriots team, some Saints teams that were pretty good. Can he get motivated for a second straight season on a bad team without Deshaun Watson?
Shouldn't a possession receiver, though, well, maybe if he is a possession receiver as opposed to a guy who went downfield, which happened quite often with Deshaun, and maybe changes here, like you said, with Tyrod Taylor, but shouldn't he be able to win more one-on-one balls than he does? Because at 68% and being 95th in the league, of course, he does his he's still a burner, though. I don't know that you take that away from him. His deep threat, he still runs. Maybe Nico Collins becomes that guy, or maybe you've got two guys that can fly on the outside. Of course, like you said, we certainly would like to see him more in the slot than just 25%. But you still got the same offensive coordinator, so maybe that doesn't change this year. We'll see whether or not he changes it up. Maybe we'll see what Pep Hamilton brings to the table on that as well. But hey, listen, Brandon Cooks is a luxury for this football team, a good football player, because they don't have any. So I know that's what you're looking for. You're looking for good football players, but you're looking for good long-term football players more than you are just for this year and next. This is the Astros 2013. This is the Astros. This is a 100-loss team. This is a team that's going to win that's going to win 3 or 4 games. And if you can get something for the future, do it. 713-780-3776. Good stuff. Tomorrow? Is it Zach Cunningham tomorrow? Zach Cunningham.
Is Zach tomorrow? Okay.
Zach Cunningham tomorrow.
We'll take a look at this Texans inside linebacker turned Will linebacker potentially with Zach Cunningham.
So yeah, we'll do that
tomorrow. We'll get inside the numbers there with him, and we'll talk about what we see for him in 2021.
So, by the way, I've been saying tonight, the Astros and Dodgers, it's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tomorrow and Wednesday. They got the day off today. They get to just walk around L.A., you know, and how awesome is that for the Astros to just be able to walk around L.A. and just have fun and interact with all the people. Certainly no one will recognize Jose Altuve out and about. So that's great for them that they get a day off in L.A. to just enjoy those Los Angeles, Southern California people because they're so nice to them. So that'll be great. Right now, though, what we got is me talking about my peeps over at Champion Energy. If you're looking for the best way to save some money, people, I've been talking about this for a dozen years, and I got to tell you, if you haven't tried it yet, you really, really, really need to. You will love Champion Energy because of their service, which I never had an issue. I've never had an issue. So what? It's really funny. I've called them before when we moved, and I had to get, and it was like a 5-minute conversation and it's over and you got your new electricity at your new place. And then, but as far as not having my electricity, it's always been there. It's always great. It's always Champion Energy and it's locally owned and operated. Keep your money right here, especially during these times, these trying times. Keep your money in the city of Houston with Champion Energy. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, good stuff. No, we don't have a gun to our head having to do this. We want to talk some Texans football. We want to get excited for this season. Do y'all have a gun to your heads right now? Like, if you need me to call 911. Texans, hashtag Texans, hashtag 20 for 20. Instead of 2020 on the Texans, can y'all just have dead air? No. No, Art. We can't.
Unlike you,
we
Art.
We did that early this morning. We're not doing that anymore.
At least before the show started. Yeah. I know Art and others, possibly in our Twitter world, don't want to talk about it, but people do want to hear about the Texans. I mean, I don't know how much they want to hear about them, really? But people like to hear about the Texans.
I think people want, there's a lot of people who want football season to start up. They know their team is going to be a challenge to get excited about. But
you
it's
think
still
this
football
is going
season.
To be mentally challenging for?
I think it's a challenge to be excited about
this team.
This team
is mentally challenged?
That's not what I said. I see you trying to work in that direction.
This team is challenged, is what you said.
I think it's going to be challenging to find something to get excited about. But, you know, a lot of people also are excited about fantasy football. I mean, it's not going to be about Texans. It's going to be about their own fantasy football team. And that's why we have a fantasy for the offense players, at least. We take a look at their fantasy impact because we understand that that's, you know, Brandon Cooks, your biggest excitement about the Texans is probably going to be Brandon Cooks and can you find another running back for the Texan that you can have as your running back four.
All right.
That's really what it is. And I don't know who that's going to be right now. David Culley mentioned that he feels like Mark Ingram is an extension of himself.
Him. Yeah.
And Mark Ingram said, absolutely. Mark Ingram felt the exact same way about that out there. I think it's going to be interesting to see how the carry. I really honestly have no idea where the touches are going to be, how the touches are going to be divided.
It's got to be Philip Lindsay.
Why do you say that, though? He's got to stay healthy.
He's got to stay healthy, but he's the most talented of all of them. I mean, David Johnson is past his prime. Mark Ingram is past his prime. We saw David Johnson. David Johnson came on at the end of the year, the last couple of games, and actually looked halfway decent. But Philip Lindsay still has some wiggle, still has some burst that the other two just don't have. So, now, you're right. He's got to stay healthy, but if you're putting your best players on the field, Philip Lindsay, at this point in his career versus their points in their career, is the best answer.
Well, he's played 3 years,
yeah,
right? In two of those years, he had 1,000 yards, which 1,000, take it for what it's, you know, what it's worth is yards per game. You know, you might want to look at yards per game, 69, 63, 45. It's gone down in each of the last 3 years from his rookie season. He averaged 5.4 yards per attempt. But I'll also tell you, Broncos didn't have a very good offensive line either. And their quarterback
play. Which the Texans have a great offensive line and great quarterback play.
Yeah, that's right.
So
that's a big advantage.
Yeah.
From a receiving standpoint, he's had 35. Well, we'll have Philip Lindsay. He's going to be one of our 20 for 20. But needless to say, I think Philip Lindsay has the type of background that would get you the most excited. But Mark Ingram, it's funny how some coaching staffs lock in on veterans. And Mark Ingram's one of those veterans. David Johnson's one of those veterans. David Johnson, actually, second half of the season, actually ran okay last year. You know, as much as we gave David Johnson crap, his yards per carry is a whole lot better than you were expecting. I can promise you that. You know, if you had told me David Johnson was going to be north of 4 yards a carry, I would have said, more than four?
Yeah, a lot of that came in the last couple of games. Yeah.
Yeah, but he looked okay in those games,
though. No, he did. He looked pretty good in those last couple of games.
If he can get back into his 2016, you know, form, and if Tyrod Taylor can get back into his 2015 form, we got something here. We got something special.
Do we?
Yeah. If they can go back 5 and 6 years, we might have something kind of special.
Well, isn't it that what Bill O'Brien was doing? He's picking up everybody who had a big 2016.
That's what it looked like.
He based all of his moves on 2016 on their player stats. So just didn't work out that well for him, though. I have zero interest in Texans talk. Disappointing. I have 19 more days to hear about this. To Dell's point, are there people who want to hear about the Texans that don't either own an XXXL Texans jersey with sequin numbers, or B, battle red face paint?
No, but there may be people who like the Texans who don't go on Twitter. I mean, Twitter isn't the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say a couple complainers on Twitter does not equal an entire city.
I'd
be careful about that.
Yeah, no.
Because somebody's listening to Texans talk right now.
Well, we've seen the excitement level about this team in the public, you know, what with the entire Texans season ticket wait list disappearing.
Yeah, but I still think there's a difference between tuning a game in on TV and
actually paying
to pay for season tickets for a year.
There is a difference.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that.
Okay, but let me ask you this question. Will the ratings be at an all-time low this year?
Probably.
Yeah.
If they're terrible, yeah. When's the last time they weren't expected to be this bad last year? It's not until you get it. If the expectations are low beforehand, that's a problem, and that's where they are right now. Not going to stop us from talking about them. Not going to stop me from watching them.
No, we will. The majority of the Monday show will be about the Texans. What was the peak? When did Texans peak our interest?
12? What do you mean?
11 and 12.
11 and 12.
12, they were 11-1.
Yeah, headed into the Bears. They beat the Bears game in a big Monday Night Football game. I mean, the 11 team in hindsight was better. The 12 team had a better record at one point, but they weren't fool's gold. They just had a quarterback who was just too scary in matchup. In 11, you might have gone to a Super Bowl
because
your running game was so devastating, and that really fed your passing game. And that's the same year. I believe that's the same year. Actually, it was 12 when Matt Schaub played Washington and got half of his ear knocked off. And he showed balls that game. He got up and had a great game afterwards. Like, holy crap, Matt Schaub.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's playing a little bit of tough football. He put his helmet back on. And then we never really saw that Schaub materialize again. But that was the peak. The peak Texans was 2 years. And then with Bill O'Brien, even though the records were good and you're winning a division, I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, I grapple with, was it us? Are we just down on the Texans because of Bill O'Brien? Or was it, because it did feel like fool's gold, even when they're winning 10 in a row. You just don't win 10 in a row in the NFL. That just doesn't happen. And even when they were doing it, we couldn't get overly excited about it. Yeah, they were in a bad division, but at the same time, we just couldn't go crazy about it. Like I wouldn't even think to put the Bill O'Brien Texans in the peak of the Texans. And yet he did have wins. He did have division titles. But the 11 and 12 teams felt like they were for real teams. Like they felt like they were dangerous teams. This was Jadeveon Clowney wanting out, or Jadeveon Clowney on the verge of being, you know, kicked out of here. You had great Hopkins, very good Watkins. Watson. You had JJ, who you knew wasn't himself anymore. Like he was 11, he was the rookie, and 12, he was like, holy crap, look at this monster. So, I don't know. Peak Texans year, 11 and 12. You've had some, hey, this is a nice little season, and now you're going into the doldrums. But that's okay. The doldrums are part of it. You have to go into it sometimes if you want to rebuild, and you just hope they make good decisions with the draft picks they're going to get, because they're going to have good picks. They're going to get more of them when they deal to Deshaun Watson.
And this Jacob has been saying this. He says the Texans have had, it's a lie. Training camp is packed with fans. People lie and say they're done with them, but we'll see. Jacob, they had their first fans out there Saturday, and it was youth groups. That's the first fans. Today is season ticket holder start, so we'll see whether or not if it's packed out there with fans that just can't get enough Texans football. I highly doubt it.
Well, how many do you need to make it look packed at a practice facility?
Yeah.
Honestly,
200 makes it look
you
packed.
You two are really selling this 20 for 20.
No, I'm not. I was actually saying people want to hear from them. What I'm saying is, packed or not packed, I mean, if you get 200 people out there who still care and have the time for it, it's going to look like the fan enthusiasm is at an all-time high because it's just the practice facility.
Yeah.
That's all?
No.
In the stands.
Oh, my goodness. They have 300 people out there.
Okay.
Wow. I'm here for Texans talk when it involves making a mockery of them. Other than that, it's beyond boring.
Fine, we can talk about them.
We're doing our 20 for 20.
You okay? can listen.
You're not it's what the people
us.
Want.
You're not stopping
Look,
us.
Look, we know the respondents on Twitter and other places were going to give us this because that's who you guys are. But you're not everyone. That's all. But we understand. Look. For there'll be a segment of the stuff you hate, and then the rest of the time, the jokes will flow. Relax.
One segment yeah. where we actually talk seriously about them, and you people are revolting on this.
And then all the other times, it'll be stuff like this.
Knowledge is power.
Okay, thanks. All right, we'll get back to it.
It'll be stuff like that and stuff like that. Okay, relax.
Yeah, We'll get to the mockery part later.
Yeah.
Trust
Stop
me.
Worry. We'll get back to mocking them.
And I'm sure the season will provide plenty of opportunities for that as well.
What? The Texans, Houston Texans, where spit in my mouth is a play call. No, it's not. That's
what?
Gross.
That 9 o'clock,
spit in his
see?
While he sleeps.
Yeah. 9 o'clock, ESPN 97.5 and 9. Can't have anything nice around here.
ESPN 97.5.